Welcome to How Not to Think, the podcast that gets you to think creatively about many different subjects. Today, I'm delighted to have with me Alexi Bracey from Toronto, Canada, who has had an interesting journey that has led her to think differently and help people think differently about their overall health and specifically their cognitive and brain health. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to the show today. Alexi, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show. You have an interesting background and history that has shaped your journey. So to begin with, let's educate the listeners about the things that shaped you to where you are today.
Well, I can say that 20 years ago, cancer saved my life. And how was that? I would have continued doing what I was doing, you know, ad infinitum, and who knows where I would have happened, where I ended up. And so because the availability of the internet wasn't like it is today, and I was researching nutrition, and I also realized that environment and emotions play a key role in your overall health. And so I embraced all three. I went on a plant-based raw food diet at the time. And without medical intervention, drugs, or surgery, I was cancer-free in a year. And so hence started my journey. I was a traditional chef, took off that hat, had a raw food hat instead, but I delved into all I could learn about health and how, you know, things that impact your health. But, you know, most people think that it's just nutrition, but it's not. There's more to it. You know, environment and emotions are really paramount. So I've been spending the last 20 years in that capacity, you know, helping people overcome their health challenges, you know, be it cancer or something else. And then I had another really profound moment a few years back. I was visiting a nursing home, and it was lunchtime. And so in the one dining room, the residents were all animated, having a lively conversation, sharing their enthusiasm about an upcoming trip. And just down the hall was another dining room, and it was like dead silence. There were about 20 women seated at various tables. They had to be visually shown their choice for lunch. Some of them had to have their food cut up. Some had to be fed. Some were eating like a three-year-old, and some were eating like an adult, but no eye contact, no social intervention, no conversation. And I've never experienced this. And I was just devastated. And what was even more profound was some of these women were even younger than me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this has got to change. I mean, there's ways to, you know, prevent dementia. And so further studies, neurological disorders as dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, can be prevented, stopped, and in some cases even reversed. And so again, it still comes back to what you eat, the who you listen to, the friends, what you watch on TV, what you read, what you subject your mind to. And it's always like, so I suggest be always mindful of the things you put into your body mentally, emotionally, and nutritionally.
Absolutely. So as an executive chef, you probably had a little more insight into food and eating, perhaps, than the average person, do you think? I mean, I presume.
Oh, absolutely.
You did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was that stark comparison then, you know, going from being an executive chef to plant-based? Again, we're talking a long time, a couple of decades ago, not today, where that wouldn't be so extreme, let's put it that way. What was that difference? What were you doing beforehand, and then you? How did you switch?
Well, it was, you know, your traditional meat and potatoes and veggies. You know, I mean, I wasn't a fast food junkie, but I would have, you know, a hamburger at a takeout once a month, or would buy pizza. I wasn't really big on packaged foods, but I wasn't aware of reading labels of ingredients that were in those foods. And so I just completely, you know, absolutely no meat. It was totally a whole foods, plant-based diet. I was living on the West Coast at the time, and it's a lot easier to be on a raw food diet when the temperature in the winter doesn't get to minus 10, you know? And so it was a lot easier. And, you know, it was a really hot topic 20 years ago, you know, sort of the infiltration from the trends in California. And I'd say it was pretty easy because I was determined I was going to conquer this. And then you realize how much tastier your own food is that's not packaged and adulterated by all sorts of different chemicals and everything. And I can't really say I missed meat, maybe a tinge, but like nothing major. My biggest thing, I would say more than anything, which is a common thing for women, is cheese. The cheese is one of the worst things you could possibly eat because of all the chemicals in it, you know, a dairy product. But, you know, it was either my health or the other alternative. So, you know, it was a no-brainer.
Right, right. And you were in a position to be able to do that with your knowledge. Now, you said you sort of eschewed the typical cancer treatment. What were the doctors suggesting for you?
Well, of course, given my age and they wanted surgery, you know, and so I was a lab technologist before I was a chef. So I had a little bit of, you know, knowledge in that capacity and how to, you know, pathology and whatever. And so when I asked for another opinion, the pathologist literally walked me down the hall and his colleague reread the report. I mean, so much for second opinion. And so as I was putting the key into my front door, the phone was ringing and I quickly grabbed the phone and it was the hospital wanting to book me for my surgery. So like, to me, that's a cash cow. I said, I didn't say I wanted surgery. Well, you came in for another opinion. So, I mean, I was just livid, just totally livid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So that anger, you know, there's a great line, if you're angry enough, you can give up anything. The anger probably spurred you, motivated you even more in your change and your desire to control your own destiny and not outsource it to the medical community, right?
That is very true. Very true.
So you made the switch to a plant-based diet. What other things did you do to really treat yourself and get yourself back to maximal health?
Well, another thing that I didn't realize was all the chemicals that are in our cleaning products and our toiletries. And they really add to your toxic load and really greatly affect your brain health. And so I didn't wear makeup for 2 years. And I got rid of, you know, all my toxic cleaning products, EWG.org, which is a great resource where they list all the toxins in your fruits, vegetables, toiletries, foods, whatever. And I did emotional work. I learned that, you know, forgiveness is really paramount because many people are harboring anger, bitterness, lack of forgiveness, and that really creates havoc on you internally. And so I, because I didn't really have a lot of friends, I had just moved out there, I did invite the group of friends I had, and we practiced a meditation that afternoon that I was cancer-free. And every night when I went to bed, I used to play Pac-Man, you know, the little guy years ago. And he was like the little dwarf or like the little miner in my stomach, and he was digging all the toxins out. And so that, so again, a visualization, you know, so, you know, did a lot, you know, resolved, you know, anger issues with a couple people, you know, there was no anger or bitterness left in my heart. And then I visualized, you know, these little these little Pac-Man taking the toxins out, plus a healthier diet. And I mean, I was just determined. There was just no ifs, buts, or ands.
Yeah. And you have to be. It has to be a total makeover. And you were able, partly with your background, but also who you are, you were able to really do that and say, I've got to change and look at anything that could be impacting my health. You were open-minded about it. And I think that's absolutely key. We have to be open-minded. And we have to look at all of those things that you mentioned that impact our health and really make the effort to improve. And then you do see the improvement. And that, of course, motivates you to keep going. How long was it into your change lifestyle, let's put it that way, were you beginning to notice positive changes?
Well, I didn't really have any symptoms per se. It was a pap smear that sort of opened this negative Pandora's box, so to speak. But, you know, so another pap smear would indicate no changes or a clean bill of health, so to speak. So I must admit, I was very nervous to go back for another pap smear. But, you know, you had to do it, and it came out clear. And so it took a year. You know, I personally feel it was maybe less than a year, but I can't prove it, but it doesn't matter.
Right, right. So that set you on your journey to share what you had learned with other people who were dealing with all sorts of physical conditions to get their health optimal. And I presume you were out talking and counseling and coaching people in all of these things. And people think of nutrition first and foremost, I think, when they think about lifestyle changes. But obviously there's much more important things, or as important things, than that. You talked about emotions, and I think that's key. What did you find in your own experience when you were able to manage your emotions, get rid of the anger through forgiveness, for example? What did you feel? What did you find?
Well, I like to use this analogy. There's two prisoners of war that are walking on their way to freedom. And the one says to the other, "So did you forgive them?" To which he replies, "No, never." And so the first one says, "Well, they still have you prisoner in your mind."
Right. Yeah.
So being angry at somebody doesn't hurt the other person as much as it hurts you. And if they can't forgive, that is their problem. Just send them love and just offer my forgiveness in my capacity in whatever way I ask for forgiveness. You can do it internally. You can talk to them face to face. Maybe the person has died. You can write a letter. There's different ways you can do it, but it's more for your mental well-being.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a quote by Lewis Smead, I think, forgiveness is letting a prisoner free and realize the prisoner was you. And I think that's true. And I think that's what you're saying, that it's only hurting you. The other person probably, you know, may not even know what you're feeling. And so you absolutely have to do that. And it is toxic, because if you're going to keep yourself ramped up in that state, you're going to be stressed. And stress does, well, prolonged stress is very bad for your body.
Yeah, we know that, but how many people really address it until you get a wake-up call?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You talked about meditation and mindfulness. Obviously, that I personally believe that's very important for doing all of these things that you're talking about. Had you ever done any meditation or mindfulness exercises before this?
A little bit, but nothing on a regular basis. And I didn't really realize the huge benefits that meditation holds. And of course, mindfulness is, again, you know, shifting your brain set, mindset to one of positivity and gratitude, and it's just so different, you know, like just holding no negative thoughts, no anger or anything against even yourself, not just others.
Yeah, especially yourself, perhaps. But I think that's true. And when we're talking about mindfulness, we are talking about distancing ourselves. You know, naturally, the way we're made, we are going to have emotional reactions. But it is to be able to distance yourself from your thoughts, from your reactions, from your emotions, and be able to see them in a more objective way so they don't overly influence you. And so that is, for me, the basis of wisdom, I think. And all of those things that we're talking about, you know, talking about forgiveness, gratitude, those virtues really are the basis of wisdom, because when you're practicing those virtues, that's exactly what you're doing. You are practicing mindfulness and you're distancing yourself from emotions, pain, anything like that. And so you can see it much, much more clearly rather than engaged in it, which not only minimizes them, but also gives you much greater control and a sense of control over your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So you started helping others. I mean, how did that manifest? Obviously, you were passionate about this, given your own experience.
Well, I ended up working as an executive chef, actually, at a wellness spa, and I introduced the raw food concept, and then people were really interested in it, and so I started doing classes, and then the participants that or the guests that left once they left the spa, I had their emails, and so I started conducting, you know, initially it was food classes, and then you know, did coaching and you know, put people on programs through my consulting, and then online programs. So it sort of has sort of mushroomed on its own.
Are there any great stories that stand out particularly from that work? I'm sure you've got many, but there might be
one particular one, because this was it was a raw food establishment, plant-based, I was supported by the owner, and through the week, it was usually women that would come for spa treatments. And on weekends, notoriously, the women would drag their husbands. And I would always go and speak to the guests after the meals. And on Sunday after lunch, the guests would check out. And so on Sunday afternoon, I made a point at lunchtime to speak with the guests. And it was 100% conclusive. The men were totally astounded. They were 100% satiated with their food. 100%.
Right, which I'm sure was completely opposite to most of their expectations going into it. Yep, and so they
absolutely. Because I'm sorry. Yeah, because people have this thing: where am I going to get the protein? Like, we're obsessed about protein. There is more protein in a cup of broccoli than a 4-ounce chicken breast.
Right. You know. Right. Yes, people don't understand the nutrient value of fresh food. So absolutely. So that's great. So you've probably converted a lot of people over the years to a plant-based diet, which is amazing. Great. Now, you talked about mindfulness, managing your emotions, managing yourself. You talked about plant-based. What other things were you doing or got to do that you felt enhanced your health?
Well, you know, the toxins in our everyday life that we sort of take for granted from, like I mentioned before, the toiletries, the chemicals in, you know, your skin products, because your body absorbs whatever you put on your skin and your lotion, like immediately, and it bypasses the liver. You know, the shampoo you use, the conditioner you use, the shaving cream, the toothpaste. And then, you know, your cleaning products. Do you use Lysol and Javex? Do you use, you know, your bounce sheets in your laundry? What do you wash your floors with? Do you use the little plugins to scent your air? Well, there's chemicals coming out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, do you use scented candles? There's just so many things we take for granted, not knowing that it contains toxins. And of course, it was a wake-up call for me. I had no idea. And so I share this knowledge with people, and they're just like totally amazed. And so I just suggest the first week, like maybe eliminate 2 or 3 of these toxic products from your home and see if you may feel better. You may breathe better. Maybe you can sleep better. And the same thing with your food. You can't just do it 100% all the time. So start with a meatless Monday. And then maybe the next week, introduce another day. Get your family involved. You know, you could get your coworkers involved in another situation. And just challenge yourself. Go on a plant-based diet for a week and prove to yourself that you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. What about drinking? What about fluids, water, drinks, things like that?
Water, definitely, but filtered water, not city water, because it contains too many pharmaceuticals and chemicals and mercury and fluoride. And fluoride lowers the IQ in children, in children for sure. So definitely invest in a filtration system for your home. Don't get the Brita because they're a waste of time. It doesn't remove chemicals. And, adequate amount of water every day, because water flushes the toxins out of your body. So, adequate water for sure. And I would really like to mention, make your bedroom a sanctuary. There should be absolutely no electronics in your bedroom. You don't go to sleep with your computer, your iPad, your cell phone. You don't have a TV. You don't have your exercise equipment. You don't have your stereo set. And your bedroom should be in total darkness, because you need that really good sleep to be rejuvenated and to let your body detoxify, because it does it through the nighttime. So, start with one or two items, remove them from your bedroom. If you don't want to do it cold turkey, so to speak, but really make yourself a plan. Okay, what steps am I going to take to improve my health? This week I'm going to do X, Y, Z. The next week I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, add to it. And get your family to work with you. Get a friend to do it with you, because we need support, because it's a lot easier.
Of course. Yeah, there's no question about that. Doing these things, making behavior change on your own is hard, especially if you're in an environment with other people. And it definitely is much easier when the whole family gets engaged and it becomes sort of a team approach and they're all supporting each other and working together. For sure, that is the way you have to do it. It's too difficult trying to be the one person in the household who's doing these things. It doesn't work very well. So actually, in your bedroom, what would you have? Would you recommend, in terms of people, winding down the end of the day, reading a book or meditating?
Yeah, read a book. Mm-hmm. Read a book, but don't read on Audible, because it's your computer.
Right.
Read on Audible on your computer an hour before you go to bed in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And don't, right. A laptop is not meant to be on your lap, because it emits electromagnetic frequencies if you hold it on your lap. So put it beside you. Ideally, it would be to hardwire your Wi-Fi in your home. Mm-hmm. That would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, turn off your router if you have Wi-Fi at night. And your cell phone should always be, at the very least, on airplane mode, and definitely not on the nightsight table beside you. And at the end of the bed, on a dresser far away, preferably even in another room. Your clock, electrical clock radio, emits the wrong colored light. Don't have electronics near your brain. Just get one of the cheap wind-up clocks at the dollar store. We used them before we had cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your bedroom is totally black. Have curtains. You don't need a night light in there. You don't need one down the hall, so the light is coming into your bedroom. So make it totally black. And you don't go to sleep with your computer. You don't have your iPad there. You don't have to watch a movie before you go to bed. It's all a habit.
Yeah,
if absolutely. You're going to watch a movie, watch it in the other room.
Did your sleep improve as a result of these changes you eventually made? Or perhaps you were a good sleeper beforehand?
Yeah. I'd say, yeah, it probably did. I mean, the last few residents where I have lived, I've had my internet hardwired, so I don't have Wi-Fi in the house at all. And your cell phone, you should never put it up to your ear, put it on speakerphone. I mean, never carry your cell phone on your physical body. Don't use it in the car, because you become a radio antenna, like you're in a microwave oven, and people are always speaking on the phone in their car. I mean, now they've changed some of the rules and regulations with driving that, you know, you can't be on your phone. But, you know, just be really cognizant of these small changes, because they do really long-term or cumulative, like you're filling that barrel with all these toxins and then all of a sudden some kind of dis-ease happens.
Do you have any views on 5G, as, you know, a lot of, some concern absolutely. About it?
Oh, the most horrific thing that could probably happen on this planet.
Really?
Absolutely. The towers are being put up so close together, and they're saying that the strength of it will create so many unexplained symptoms. There will be a really exponential rise in people visiting their doctors, and it's all related to 5G. Dr. Klinghart, a well-respected authority on EMFs, says that 50% of the world's population, 50% of the world's population will die of neurological disorders. Two key factors, Wi-Fi and glyphosates. And glyphosates is the active ingredient found in Roundup.
Found in?
Roundup.
Oh, Roundup, yeah. Yeah. And then you had this experience at the assisted living facility or nursing home where you saw people yep. in the different stages of dementia and how that struck you so vividly and harshly compared to the other group down the hallway. And I've certainly witnessed that myself, watching people in silence, needing to be prompted on almost every move. And that shocked you. And so you started to embrace the whole notion of cognitive preventive health and using these tools exactly. for helping people prepare, as it were, better for aging.
Absolutely. Because yeah. we're having an epidemic of dementia on this planet, and women are three times more at risk for dementia than men. It's hormone related. But, you know, just take preventative action. That's all I can say.
Right. And it would be the same things that we've been talking about. Nutrition, toxins, et cetera, emotions. One thing you haven't talked about is physical activity. What is your experience and views on the role of physical activity in health?
Well, physical activity, if I could just sidestep for a minute, mental activity. So learn to, there's brain games, you know, on the internet, you know, chess players, Sudoku, learn a new skill, learn a new language. So really keep your brain stimulated. That's why the blue zones, the people on the planet that are the longest, healthiest living with a sharp mind and agile body, they're involved in communities and being active, stimulating their brain. So it's the same thing here. We don't go farming, but keep your brain stimulated by brain activities. And then the physical exercise is really important. You know, go out for a walk. You know, if you can't go outdoors we're sort of limited right now, but you know, just there's easy exercises you can do at home. You know, you can do, crunches, you can do push-ups, you can, stand against a wall and bend your knees and hold it as long as you can. One thing that I really suggest is to improve your balance is stand comfortably with your feet, you know, a foot apart or whatever, and raise your one foot, bend it at the knee, raise your foot about six inches to a foot, and see how long you can hold it without wobbling, and then repeat the other foot, and try to build yourself up to at least a minute. Then hold that same foot raised and close your eyes. That's a lot more difficult. And the same thing, hold it as long as you can, and then do it with the other foot. And I promise you, if you do it faithfully every single day, 1, 2, 3 times a day, by the end of the week, you will be amazed how much better you are.
Yeah,
it helps with your balance.
Yeah,
it helps with your balance, and you're thinking about it. You're really concentrating, so you're stimulating those brain cells.
Yeah, and balance is important as you get older. I mean, falls are a very common reason for people getting injuries and going into decline. They fall, break their hip or something like that. So balance actually is very, very important at all ages, but especially as we get older. So that actually is very, very important. And of course, as you say, right now we're a bit restricted, but social stimulation also has to be important.
That's right. So there's things you can do to, you know, when we're sort of homebound for now, is reach out and talk to friends that you maybe haven't spoken to in a while. Hi, how you doing? Can I offer you some support? You know, if you practice gratitude, you take the reference off of yourself and be grateful for external things. You know, the friends in your life, you know, the sunshine, because it helps gives energy for our food to grow, for the birds to sing, for the bees to pollinate. Dr. Wallace Nichols coined the word blue mind, where he was a marine biologist and he took post-traumatic stress disorder marines and took them to the coral reefs down in the Caribbean, and they were rebuilding the coral reefs. And these had remarkable success stories with these PST marine biologists or marine ex-marines. And so he says the blue mind is the meditative state you reach when you are on, in, or near water. So, you know, if you live near a small pond, that's great. Listen to the rain. Why do women like to take baths? Because it's relaxing. You know, play music. You can have your background screen playing, water trickling or waterfalls or the rain. You know, that's why people go to their cottages to be near water. They go south in the wintertime to be near water. They go sailing, canoeing, kayaking, skiing, snowboarding. They like fountains. They like swimming. It's all related to water. And, you know, I encourage people to, in some capacity, create that blue mind each and every day.
Yeah, I do think that connection with nature is really important.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's essential to do that. And so many people, well, there's a lot of people who live in nature, and there's also a lot of people who live in major cities and metropolitan areas where that's a little harder to find. But I think it's also crucial.
Exactly. And, you know, some of these parks have water fountains. You know, I mean, we're restricted now to visiting parks, but, you know, play running water music at home. It's very healing, and there's nothing wrong with men taking baths as well.
No, nothing wrong at all. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Which is interesting. Is there a gender difference in terms of the acceptance of these ideas that you found? I mean, you said earlier that the men were astounded by the immediate benefit they got from going on a plant-based diet. In terms of the acceptance of these ideas, is there a gender difference there or not really?
Yeah, I would say women are probably a little bit more open to it. So I would suggest to the women, tell your significant other, tell your sons, your grandfathers, your uncles, you know, share this information. Just, it's a great stress buster, that the sound of running water, you're just in that meditative state. I mean, it's a great way to fall to sleep with, you know, like that's why when people go to their cottages, they leave their windows open so they can hear the waves crashing against, the shore. So it's very healing.
Yes, it is. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's interesting. So tell the audience where they can find you and information about you. So if people are interested in following up more, they have that information.
Well, I do focus on my app, and my app is called The Whole Health App. So it's a little tricky in downloading. If you have an Android phone, type in Whole Health, one word, lowercase. If you have an iPhone, type in The Whole Health App with the first letters, capitalized. And then once you're on the page, click on the little three bars on the top left-hand corner and you'll take it into the page. There's lots of articles, resources, quizzes, videos. I've got a quiz there. Are you at risk for dementia? I've got another quiz. What is your health IQ? And just a plethora of toxins that affect the brain, foods that support brain health. I mean, there's lots of information on there. I do offer coaching and consulting. I do mentorship programs, online programs. I have a daily nugget that's available on YouTube starting the middle of the month on optimum health one day at a time. So just a 2 or 3 minute video, little things you can do every day to optimize your health.
Yeah, that's awesome. And again, in terms of behavior change, I think that's the way to go. You obviously do need support while you're doing it. I think that's critical. You also need to understand why you're doing it. And I'm sure you explain that. You don't do it just because somebody told you to do it. You have to understand what the benefits are going to be. And you do it in small chunks. I mean, small changes can make a big difference, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, how do you eat an apple? One bite at a time.
Right. Absolutely. And apples are a good part of your diet, I'm sure. So thank you so much, Alexi. This has been very helpful. I think this is great advice for people. And I hope that they will at least look up your work and see what you're doing and look up that app and really understand that our health, as you say, it's not just about what we eat or how much we exercise. It's well, those are important. There are lots of other factors. Almost everything we do is important. Managing one's emotions, getting the right amount of sleep, and developing the right mindset so that you can become wiser in everything and actually manage your life more successfully and healthily. And I think that's really critical. So really appreciate you, really appreciate the work you're doing. And thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. If I just may add one thing, because the subjects covered today may be a little new or heavy for some individuals, I have a practice where I like to put a chuckle into people's hearts, which they can share with others. And by that, I mean is telling a joke. So may I?
Please.
Okay. So a lady rushes out of the drugstore and she's totally distraught because she realizes that she's locked the keys in her car. And she clasps her hands and looks up to the heavenly skies and says, "Oh God, please send me somebody that will unlock the keys to my car." 1 minute flat, presto, a biker appears. Tattoos, big beer belly. He says, "Lady, you need some help?" And she goes, "Oh, please, please, sir." She says, "I've locked the keys in my car and my daughter's sick at home. I have these meds for her. Can you please unlock the car?" 1 minute flat, the car is unlocked. She clasps her hands, looks up to the heavens and says, "God, thank you so much for sending me such a nice man." The biker overhears. He says, "Lady, I'm not a nice guy. I just got out of prison for car theft." The lady clasps her hands one more time and looks up to the skies and says, "God, thank you so much for sending me a professional."
Yes, very good. And humor, of course, we didn't talk about humor. If we'd gone on, we would. Humor is a great form of medicine, right? Humor is absolutely medicine. And I think that is important, especially during difficult times, is humor is relevant. One of my favorite guys, Peter Ustinov, British guy, was on television a lot. He used to tell stories. He was great. He says, humor is just a funny way of being serious. And it really is. And I think that humor is very, very important. So I'm glad that you added that at the end of what was probably a serious conversation for a lot of people. But humor is important. And again, appreciate you getting that in there at the end. So thank you so much again, Alexi. Have a humorous afternoon and keep doing the great work that you are doing.
And you as well. And thank you so much.
Thank you.